Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Powered by Taylor Construction Equipment. Whether you're looking to rent, lease, buy, or for service, contact Taylor Construction Equipment today at taylorconstructionequipment.com or call 662-446-1048. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Friday morning. Thanks for joining us here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. I want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffee House here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at the Strange Brew Coffee House here in Starkville or at Brupolo. Over there in Tupelo. It would be a little weird, Robbie.
Yes.
If Brupolo was in Trinity.
Yeah, it would be a little weird.
Yeah.
Instead of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, it would be the Christmas tree cakes, the albino squirrel, and blueberry cobbler coffee.
Yeah, I mean, that would be. What? We just compared God to coffee.
Well, you said Trinity.
I was maybe going to go more of a Matrix thing. I was like, Trinity's just outside of Neo or something. I don't know. But
you were going movies.
I was
going Holy Trinity.
I wasn't going Holy, or, you know, the name of the Christmas tree cake. Wherever you are in our great state, we're off to a rousing start today. Hope you enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. You can do it with a simple click of the mouse there, strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. Remember, every purchase goes straight. A portion of every purchase goes straight.
No, you said it.
100%.
Corn dogs for all these people, Shane.
100% of the purchase. They decided they didn't want to make any money this month. Pip Printing and Signs over in Ridgeland. Guys, if you're just starting up your business or if you want to bring an attention, new signage can play a big role in that. You know, if I don't see your sign and your sign doesn't catch my eye, I'm probably not coming in. Doesn't matter how good the products you offer are inside. You've got to get people in the front door. Pip Printing and Signs can help you with that. They've been doing it for over 30 years. They're Bulldog owned and operated. And every sale you make with them, 10% goes back to the Bulldog Initiative. You already spend money on printing. If you're a business owner, you're already spending that money. Spend it with Pip Printing and Signs and help the Bulldog Initiative at the same time. Call Camden Baker at 601-499-5216. Check them out online, pipridgeland.com. If you need printing or signage, call Pip today. I really feel like that's starting to, I feel like we're getting there. I feel I'm getting in a groove with that.
I like it.
It's working. College Corner and collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you are looking for. Brooks Roberts has tweeted something.
Oh, has he?
Yeah, see, he got me on that one. They do have the maroon and white merchandise that you're looking for. The Banner M is done, guys. Wrap it up. Put it in the scrap heap of history. We're moving forward with the state script, the M over S, maybe the interlocking MSU if we can get lucky. They've got it all of that at College Corner. Two locations to serve you in the Jackson area, Ridgeland by Fleet Feet, Flowood by the Half Shell, or you can shop online at collegecornerstore.com. I really got some good air on that picture. I did good.
What is it?
Oh, he tweeted me doing the heel click.
Oh, okay.
The one, the more recent one.
Yeah, you were...
I got up there.
You just had pizza.
Yeah, I did, which I love.
And it was your birthday.
It was my birthday that day. Yeah,
you were really excited.
I was feeling my oats that day.
No, I like it.
I remember very clearly what Steph said as he was like, "What was our contingency plan if he didn't land? Like
if you flew through the air?
No, if I fell.
Oh,
Yeah, if I just tore both all the ligaments,
I was about to say,
knee.
Does he think you're about to levitate into the air?
I just raptured off the planet on my birthday there. Restaurant Tyler, Starkville's flagship restaurant. That's the place to grab the best lunch in town. If you're a blue plate kind of person, and I am a blue plate kind of person. I like a meat and three. They've got the best one in town at Restaurant Tyler. Lunch, dinner, Sunday brunch, the best meal in town's all under one roof, guys. It's Restaurant Tyler. 16 Priority One Bank locations throughout Central Mississippi. They're here to serve you. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide to find the location near you. If you live in Central Mississippi, there's one near you. And you can build a relationship with a community bank that gives you that small-town feel but offers big-time financial performance. If you're already a Priority One Bank customer, you know about their app and how great it is. It's a lot more than just moving your money around. It's a smooth, streamlined mobile banking app that you can use just about anywhere. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. You know, sometimes you have a plan, and you think, okay, this is what we're going to do, and this is how it's going to be, and that's, you know, what you want to do. And then the biggest story in college sports happens, and you got to change your plan up. So we will get to the Robbie Awards a little later in the show. But we have to talk about the fact that the SEC is a different animal today than it was 24 hours ago. I enjoyed doing Future Brian last night where I was just like, the guys don't know that in 3 hours the college football world is going to change forever.
Yes.
And we didn't. But Nick Saban has retired. The day that we all knew would eventually come kind of grabbed us by surprise. I hope you've watched the video of our reaction to it on Sports Talk as it broke live while Richard was in the middle of a Genteel apparel ad. Just your everybody's given their thoughts, Robbie. So let's not fall into that trap. Let's just talk about Mississippi State. Maybe the biggest Mississippi State villain of all time. If I did the math right, he's 24-1 against Mississippi State in his coaching career at LSU, and
the
Alabama.
One win was Sylvester Croom.
Well, that is an unbelievable thing that Sylvester Croom is the only Mississippi State head coach to ever beat Nick Saban. Not Mullen, not Jackie, not obviously not Moorhead, not Mike Leach. Sure as hell not Zach Arnett. Sylvester Croom. That's really saying something. And, you know, we've talked about that game so much over the past years about how, gosh, if State could just show a little ability to compete with Alabama, it would mean something. And they never did. It's almost like he took a perverse pleasure in embarrassing Mississippi State. He did it more often than not.
They had, like, two competitive games against them.
In his career.
Yeah.
In his career, State has
outside
three.
Outside of 07. When he got going.
Right. His first year at LSU, State lost by 7 in overtime. 2000.
What year was that?
2000.
2000?
Yeah. That's 2014 right. Against Alabama, when State was number one.
Yep.
And 2017, Mullen's last ever game as the head coach at Mississippi State.
Against Alabama.
That was his last ever game. He never coached a game again after that game.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. If you go back and watch, the results bear that out.
I see what you're saying.
Yes. He dominated Mississippi State in a way that you don't... I mean, I don't know what Johnny Vaught's record was against Mississippi State. My guess is those are probably the two biggest Bulldog beaters of all time.
Yeah, I mean, he really did. I mean, you're talking about 15 straight wins?
Yes.
Is that right?
From 08 to 23, yeah.
The only team he
16,
owned...
16 straight.
The only team he owned worse than Mississippi State was Arkansas.
Arkansas. He never lost to them... At Alabama.
I think that's right.
I believe that's correct.
Yeah, they are Mississippi State's saving grace there.
Yeah.
He absolutely owned them. State never could, whatever the style of play you call it, that was a terrible matchup for Mississippi State every time. It wasn't just that they had better players, though that was the main reason, but the style of play, State just couldn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
We saw some games where they played some pretty good defense against them, but they just could never score. It was crazy. Like, they just, whatever they were doing on offense, they just never could score against them. So, every Mississippi State fan should be absolutely thrilled that Nick Saban is no longer roaming the sidelines there in Tuscaloosa.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong. I knew the day would come, but I didn't know that it was going to be January 10th of 2024. But it has come and gone now. And so when we look at, and of course, you know, it comes when Mississippi State doesn't play Alabama next year.
Yeah.
So this is what I think will happen.
Which might be good. Give them a couple of years to lose their talent.
That's what I think is going to happen, right? They'll still be really good.
Yeah.
But they're not going to be this immortal freak of nature thing anymore.
No, right? It's going to be – who was right after Bear Bryant?
Ray Perkins.
Ray Perkins.
And they were not good.
They weren't good?
Yeah.
Was it Gene Stallings that was really good, but like he was – two kind of compared to Bear a little bit.
No, that was Ray Perkins.
That was Ray Perkins.
And Perkins, his problem was like as soon as he took over, he was like, let's not talk about Bear Bryant anymore. Mm. And you can't do that. Whoever comes in now is gonna have to be like, yeah, I'm gonna, you know. So like
you wanna continue the process. That's gonna keep everybody's minds at ease.
Right. So Bear Bryant's last game is the 82 Liberty Bowl. They finish the season 8-4. He retires at the end of the year. He's dead, like a month later.
Yeah.
Immediately, Alabama goes 8-4 the next year. So you remember when I say 8-4, that there's a bowl game in there because that's back when we played 11, and then they went 5-6,
yeah,
in the second year. Now, I don't think that's going to happen. Then they go 85, they go 9-2, 10-3, 7-5, and then at this point, I guess Bill Curry is probably wouldn't it Bill Curry? Bill Curry I think took over in 87. I could be wrong on that. So, I mean. Michael Borky made the point yesterday on Sports Talk. He's like, oh, Alabama, they can't screw this up. And I'm just like, man, Alabama has screwed it up a lot in the past.
Yeah. Look at all the coaches after Bear Bryant.
Yeah, Stallings won a national title.
Gene Stallings was the only one that had them playing similar to what Bear Bryant did.
Correct.
And even, Mike DeBose.
And then they go,
not very good. Mike Shula, not very good.
They go 92 to 2009 without a national title. They went 17 years. Mike DeBose, Dennis Franchione.
Ugh.
Remember him? Yeah. Mike Price, as we all know, Mike Shula.
Price.
I mean, he didn't even coach a game.
The guy who had the he was kind of the Hugh Freeze of the
before 2000s. There was Hugh Freeze, there was Mike Price. Mike Price wasn't went around on the cell phone. He was going straight to the brothel.
Didn't he coach the minors of UTEP?
He coached them after.
Yeah.
Yeah, 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 correct. He coached Washington State before that.
Yeah, everybody can screw up a coaching hire.
Yes.
Everybody. Nobody is entitled to success just from the name. So, what?
I'm just reading some texts that we have been sent to you and I.
So. Oh, okay.
That make me want to vomit.
Yeah, so they can make a bad hire here.
Yeah.
They almost made a really bad hire before they hired Nick Saban, and they lucked into that. They have the money.
Yeah.
They have the money to make a good hire, but here's the thing. It's becoming increasingly tougher in college athletics. Hiring away a sitting head coach that is at a really good spot because teams are competitive. Programs are competitive now with how they pay coaches, their NIL structure, the rosters.
Mm-hmm.
Dan Lanning has announced that he's staying at Oregon, which I've always thought would be tough to pull him. Mm-hmm. Why would he leave Oregon where he's competing for a national championship, has a great situation, and come follow up the greatest of all time in Nick Saban?
Mm-hmm.
There's no reason for him to go there unless he just
wants to coach Alabama. Dream job for him, which it might be. I don't know.
I think there's going to be a lot of coaches that don't want to take that chance. Now, you're going to make a lot of money regardless, but do you want to go there? Because eventually you're probably that's the pinnacle of your career. You're not going to go to a better place than Alabama. So the only thing that can happen is you live up to their expectations.
Mm-hmm.
Or you don't, and you get fired.
Mm-hmm.
There's literally no other way around it. That place has expectations like you've never seen before.
Yeah,
and now they're set in a completely unrealistic realm because who can live up to Nick Saban? I don't think there's ever going to be another Nick Saban.
There isn't, and that's the thing is are Alabama fans going to Are they going to be able okay when they go 9-3?
Yeah, because that's that's coming at some point.
You're going to have a year. You're going to have a year where you know where you go 9-3. Alabama's still going to have years where they're going to be in the playoff. They're going to be competing for national titles. That's not going away. Do they have the patience when they have a down year and they go 9-3 and they miss the playoff and they're playing in the Citrus Bowl? Are they going to be okay?
Yeah.
You know, Saban got away with that in 2010 because he had just won the national title.
Right.
Then he followed up with back-to-back titles. You know, could a coach, you know, who doesn't win a national title right off the bat get that same kind of patience? I don't know. I don't know the answer to that, so we're going to find out.
Every year when I do my Know the Foes stuff, like before the games, when I get to Alabama, the coach section that I write about is always the longest because some of the information that I look up on Nick Saban is just so mind-blowing, I have to put it in there.
The stat that caught my eye yesterday was 29 losses, 44 first-round picks.
Yeah.
That's a stupid statistic.
And you look at, too, like, the consistency that he's done things is just unbelievable. Like, you're going to have turnover on your roster, which he did. You're going to have turnover in your coaching staff, which he did. Look at all the offensive and defensive coordinators that he had. And almost every time he turned around and he had a team competing for a national championship, the last time he had more than two losses, you said it, 2010. 14 years ago.
Yeah.
2010.
By the way, that might have been his most talented team. That had Julio Jones, Ingram and Trent Richardson, Mark Barron. That was coming off the national title. They were preseason number one.
They should have beat Auburn that year. They should have beat Cam Newton. They had them beat.
And they lost to LSU by like one.
Yeah.
I think.
So that team was good enough. After that first year, like he was what he was. And you know, the last 3 years they haven't been the dynasty that they were. And you know, Georgia has kind of passed them a little bit, although they beat Georgia this year and they've won those battles too. But you know, Georgia from a consistency and dominance standpoint, they're kind of taking over that spot.
Yeah.
But continuing, I mean, what's so impressive with him is he's an old school coach, and you can tell, and he's, you know, he does things a different way, but he always knew what he had to do to continue to stay at the top.
Yeah.
I mean, you think about whenever he went from that, like, pro-style mindset on the offensive side of the ball to hiring Lane Kiffin to be his offensive coordinator and then hiring Steve Sarkisian after that. He evolved with the times. He saw that the game was changing offensively. He brought in an innovative offensive mind, and all of a sudden, you know, they go from the most dominant defensive force in college football to, my God, these guys can score some points.
Yeah.
Racking up, wide receivers, ungodly wide receivers that they had during that stretch with Ruggs and Smith and all those guys. I mean, it's just been an incredible run. I mean, I don't think we'll ever see this again. I just think there's going to be so much balance in college football to the point where teams are just fluctuating with the transfer portal and NIL and stuff. I don't think we'll ever see anything like this again. I think Georgia is still kind of in that realm a little bit, but it's going to be hard to sustain that success at that kind of level like Nick Saban did.
You're right. I mean, you're just right. But, I mean, they can still be a really good program. They can still win national titles. It's just not going to be this every year 10, 11, 12 win thing.
I want to see who they hire. This is super intriguing.
Yeah.
I just don't know what's going to happen here.
Yeah.
You can go a lot of different ways. You can go to DeBoer at Washington, who I think would be a good fit for them. You could go Mike Norvell. Makes some sense. He's a little outside the box, but you know, he's built two programs pretty well. Mm-hmm. You know, Florida State had kind of fallen by the wayside a little bit after Jimbo Fisher, and he had to clean up a lot, and he's kind of built them back up. Great recruiter, great coach. I don't know if they would hire Lane Kiffin.
I think with Kiffin, you tell me if you think I'm wrong, it's more about the butterfly effect. It's where does Saban's replacement come from?
Yeah.
Does that job go to Kiffin? Like, I thought with Lanning, I thought Oregon would be a good fit for Kiffin.
Yeah.
I think Florida State would be a good fit for Kiffin.
I think
if Sarkisian were to go, I think that would be a good fit.
I think Florida would be a good fit.
I don't know if
but that's not going to happen this cycle.
Yeah, I'm just talking about who could replace Saban. You know, and then you look at Kalen DeBoer. Is Washington a place where he would go? I don't know the answer to that.
Yeah.
It would be, by the way, the funniest thing ever would be Lane Kiffin coaching Will Rogers.
That would be pretty funny.
It would be incredible.
He would go get somebody else.
He would bring Dart with him.
Yeah, I don't think Bama would hire him. But I could be wrong.
Could be wrong.
I don't think
the man's won. He won 11 games this year at Ole Miss. That means he has the ability to win 13. He has the ability to win a national title.
Yeah, I just think the way things ended there last time,
it's probably not going to happen.
You know, he's not really a fit for what they're
a little more buttoned up.
Yeah, you know, like Greg Byrne, I just don't see him going.
I can't see Greg Byrne saying, yeah, let's hire this guy who just last week trolled a player's mom on Twitter.
Yes.
I mean, simple as that.
You know, tweeting all the time, you know, that's just not going to be their style. But like you said, the other spots are intriguing. I just wonder, you know, he's kind of like Lanning right now. He's in a good spot, making a lot of money. That roster is built to contend next year. But like we talked about, he could very easily take those guys with him if he does go somewhere.
He does. He could. So.
I don't know if this is the time for him, but nothing really makes sense. I don't know if there's a book that tells you how things are going to turn out.
Yeah, no, there isn't.
You know, so nothing's off the table. Yeah. It would
all things are possible through God, so let's write that down.
That's right. And coffee. Strange brew.
Stop. The brew god. All right. So, yeah, I think that's maybe the longest we've ever talked on it. I mean, it's really not a Mississippi State topic, but it is an SEC topic. It affects Mississippi State because there is a trickle-down effect. You know, when you had two monster, having Georgia and Alabama up there, I mean, it's difficult, right? You're always going to have to play one of them, right? You're always going to have to play one of them on your schedule. Now Alabama, it doesn't matter who the next guy is. It doesn't matter. If it's Kiffin, hey look, Kiffin's a great coach, and he'll win a lot of games. He might even win a national title at Alabama. But Kiffin is not going to be a year-in, year-out, 12-0, 11-1 guy. All right? DeBoer, Norvell, none of those guys are going to be year-in, year-out.
It's been really quiet on Dabo. Do you think he's a possibility?
Can't be. If you're not going to do the portal, you can't coach at Alabama right now. You're
it's not,
going to do
not like Saban.
Imagine he walks into the first meeting at Alabama and says, our NIL is the name, image, and likeness of God. We're really on a God kick here on the show.
But I don't know. They probably would like that there.
The boosters would. The players would be like, get the hell out of here, buddy.
I mean, it's not like Saban was like going out there and pulling in 20 guys out of the portal, though. He was just kind of filling spots. If you could convince the administration, hey, I will use the portal when I need to, he could be the guy. He's got ties there, played there.
I just don't think
he's a good coach.
I just don't see it happening.
I just don't know if I think that he's going to use the portal. He's going to have to, or he's going to be fired.
Clemson doesn't have a single portal commitment
still
today. Yeah.
Why is he doing that?
Because he doesn't believe in it.
But like,
he's willing to take.
But look at what he's done the last 2 years.
No, I get.
He's going to have to.
I get it. I agree with you.
But
some people are principled in a way that they're just not going to do that.
I'm going to take credit. I predicted this on Dabo 2 years ago,
mm-hmm.
when the portal thing started happening. He started talking about like kids just aren't loyal and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I said then he will be left in the dust, mm-hmm. if he doesn't adjust his thinking.
Agreed.
And nobody's talking about Clemson right now.
Agreed.
They went from a national championship, competing for the playoff every year, to competing to play, you know, in a bowl game at 8-4, 9-3, whatever.
Yeah, they had to come back to beat Kentucky in the Tax Slayer Bowl this year.
Ugh.
That's where Clemson.
Kentucky, by the way, like people keep making it out to be like Mark Stoops is just, he's squeezing every bit of the juice out of the lemon. They're getting good players out of the portal.
Yeah.
Recruiting.
Devin Leary was a massive disappointment this year. I thought he was going to be really good, and he was not.
So, like, are they really getting all the juice out of these players?
This year he's got a former five-star guy, right? Didn't Vandergriff, five-star kid?
Is that who went there?
Yeah.
I don't know.
So,
I mean, they got all these offensive weapons, and they've never done hardly anything on offense.
I know.
So, I just don't buy it.
And it looks like Will Levis was a lot better than maybe we gave him credit for. And they didn't get enough out of him, so.
That's kind of my thinking, too, on him, is, you know, we just keep looking at him and saying, like, what are people seeing in him? Because he looks so bad at Kentucky, or average.
Yeah.
And, you know, the GMs, they know their stuff. So it's just like I'm sitting there, like, racking my brain. You know, Kentucky's taking the ball out of his hands late in games. They don't trust him. He just didn't really look comfortable. Mm-hmm. Maybe it was them.
Yeah, maybe so. All right, let's move into the Robbie Awards. That's brought to you by our friends over at the Mississippi Beef Council, who want to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. It's always grilling season around the Haydad household. I hope it is at yours as well. And if it is, well, then you need to be grilling steaks. You need to be grilling burgers. You need to be putting a brisket on the smoker. Whatever it is, go and see. I'm telling you, you'd be surprised at the quality of cuts you can find at your local grocery stores. There's always great stuff at mine. Check it out. Beef, it's what's for dinner, thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District is the place to find smoked southern soul food. And in about 15 minutes, it's going to be the place to find Brian Haydad and Robbie Faulk. As soon as we wrap things up here, we are headed out to the Cotton District to enjoy.
I've been waiting for smoked wings to come into my life. I've been waiting for those pork rind nachos.
Is there any band that doesn't want pork rind nachos?
Oh, yeah.
We're going to get a chicken chipotle taco! We are, Brian. His name is Brian, too?
It is.
Yeah. Well, all that being said, we are moments away from a tremendous trip to Two Brothers Smoked Meat. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. They've been doing it now for 49 years, guys. And no, it's just not possible for a business to stay open if they don't take care of their customers. So 49 years means you can trust. When you make a purchase from Advantage Business Systems, when you get your new copier or printer, your new computers from there, you can trust that when you need service, they're going to be there for you. And they've got 49 years worth of receipts to prove it. What more can I tell you than you can trust Advantage Business Systems to deliver the service after the sale? And because they're in Mississippi just like you, a lot of times they'll be able to take care of you the same day. Give them a call at 601-362-9192 or visit them online, absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. The Collegiate Collection at the Grove, I keep saying it, guys, the Banner M, it's no mo. It's time to go. It's time to get new stuff. If you're still holding on to Banner M stuff, you are going to look like the Maroon Is All That Matters people at this point.
It's true.
You don't want to be those guys, right?
It's sad but true, guys.
You know it's sad but true. So, head over to the Rogue or check them out on therogue.com and look at the Collegiate Collection. Great looking, stylish polos and pullovers. They've got the logos that you want, including the M over S logo, which we're going to need very soon for baseball season. Don't live the three-stripe life. Shop at the Rogue. I don't know what, this is obviously the third annual, this is your third year with me, right?
Yes.
So this is the third annual.
22.
Yes, but we skipped a year of the other
22, 23, 24.
But we skipped a Robbie's, your first, coming out of, so that would have been, that'd been Joel then? So yeah, we skipped Joel's after the 2020, the year 2020. We did the Joel tees.
So my first one was 22.
Yeah.
Second was 23, and then 24. So this will be my
third annual Robbie's Awards.
Yes.
But in terms of giving awards, these are. Let me see if I can find it out here. I believe it was 2018 the first year. No, 2017 was the first year. So that would make this the eighth annual. I guess, but we skipped a year. So the seventh annual awards show here on the podcast, from the BB Awards to the Joel T Awards, and now the Robbie Awards. We are pleased to welcome you here for this year. This is a different awards than we've ever done before, in that football had almost no presence whatsoever. Yeah. Once we get past the first one here, Male Athlete of the Year, we're done with football.
Yeah, 21 was like the 21 into 22 was the best one, I think.
Yeah, because you had the national title. There's a lot of
football.
Baseball
was solid.
But you had like Will Rogers threw for 4,000 yards, and, yeah. you had stuff there. But
yeah, we're really digging on this year. I mean, wasn't great.
Not great. So let's have a look at our winners this year. We went with the male. Do you have the list in front of you there? Do you have it?
No, I'll pull it up.
I'll let you announce, since these are the Robbie's Awards.
Okay.
So just go to my Twitter feed. All the tweets are there. We have the Male Athlete of the Year to start off. Tolu Smith, Mississippi State Basketball. Bookie Watson, Mississippi State Football. Dakota Jordan was our nominee for Mississippi State Baseball. Nobody stood out as far as track or golf that just... You know, I couldn't put anybody. Like, I think Nuno Borges was a nominee 1 year. Unfortunately, he was in like the same year as like Mangum,
yeah,
and Jeff Simmons. So, with 76.4% of the vote, Robbie, the winner is.
Ladies and gentlemen, the winner of the Male Athlete of the Year, Bookie Watson, Mississippi State Football, with 76% of the vote.
Are you surprised by that? I thought Tolu would, little bit, I thought Tolu but he would was, win.
Yeah, I'm surprised the discrepancy there, but yeah. I thought Bookie definitely had the case.
If anybody ever wants
SEC
to say
Defensive Player of the Year by one outlet.
If anybody ever wants to say Mississippi State's not a football school, just show them that poll right there.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
76% of the vote for a team that went 5-7. I really thought you can sort of see the way I think it's going to go and the way I put the nominees in there.
Yeah.
And I had Tolu first. I thought he was going to win easily.
Yeah.
And instead he got blown out. So congrats to Buki. He is the winner of the prestigious four-fingered hand turkey.
Congratulations.
We will get that out to him.
He's got an SEC Defensive Player of the Year trophy probably
that means
somewhere.
Nothing.
He's going to the Senior Bowl.
Nothing.
All SEC. It's nothing in comparison.
Nothing compares to the prestige.
That's correct.
Of the Robbie's Awards. Our Female Athlete of the Year, three nominees. From the women's basketball program, Jessica Carter. From soccer, goalkeeper Maddie Anderson. And from women's golf, Julia Lopez Ramirez, who was one of the top women's golfers in the country.
Yeah.
A little closer race here, but we have a winner. Robbie, the Female Athlete of the Year is?
From Mississippi State Soccer,
mm-hmm.
Maddie Anderson.
Yeah, very good. Deserving.
Well, it was a historic year for the soccer team.
Yeah, they and it shows in these awards.
Yeah, people really did their homework, I think.
Yeah, 51.5% of the vote to Maddie Anderson. Jessica Carter second with 30.2, and then Julia Lopez Ramirez, 18.3%. Congrats to all three. That's a good showing for all three of those ladies.
Yeah.
But Maddie Anderson is your Female Athlete of the Year. Good thing she doesn't have four fingers. Being a goalkeeper, you need all five.
That's right.
You need all five.
Bob liked soccer, didn't he?
So Bob just got into the Premier League this year.
Really?
Yeah.
But wasn't he a soccer guy?
I mean, he liked the women's soccer team because, you know, he worked for Mississippi State. He liked
but no, like, didn't he play some soccer?
Oh, I think he played in high school.
Yeah. Starkville Academy?
Yeah.
Thought so.
You know, he was great at heading the ball in that gigantic afro that he used to have.
He did have that afro, man. That was wild.
It's incredible. Really closely contested thing here.
Yeah, this is
Coach
crazy.
Of the Year.
1% difference.
1% difference between our four nominees. I got four nominees here. I wonder if I had done three, what would have happened. But I felt like all four of these guys needed to be on the list.
If this was a vote in
we'd
the
have to
primaries,
go to a runoff.
We'd have to go to a runoff.
We have to go to a runoff. We're not going to do that here. We have a plurality is what it's called.
Yeah.
From Mississippi State, men's basketball, Chris Jans. Women's basketball, Sam Purcell. Soccer, James Armstrong. Women's golf, Charlie Ewing. By the narrowest of margins, Robbie, who is our winner for Coach of the Year?
The Robbie Award goes to Mississippi State soccer coach James Armstrong.
Wow.
A friend of the show.
A Burnley man. And
well deserved. I know that people are going to disagree with that, yeah, just because of the popularity of basketball. But when you put into context what James Armstrong has done for Mississippi State soccer, it's incredible. The season that they had this year has never happened at Mississippi State before. So to me, well deserved.
Here's what I would say, Bill: if you got a problem with this, you should have voted. You had a chance to vote for Chris James.
I mean, this is 730 votes.
Yeah.
On this.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's enough of a wide variety of people that.
Yeah.
I think it works.
All right. Our game of the year. Again, no football and no baseball in this group.
I'm still a little surprised by this one.
Well, let's talk about it. We had three nominees for men's basketball. State beats TCU in overtime here at the Hump. That was a top 15 win, which, by the way, we haven't even talked. You gotten your thoughts on State beating Tennessee. We'll have to save that for another day.
Well, you can watch my YouTube reaction video.
You should watch Talking Dogs. So State beats TCU. I thought that was the best win they had last year as far as men's basketball. In women's basketball, I went with their win over Creighton in the NCAA tournament to advance to the second round, the first ever team to do that from the play-in game. And then Mississippi State soccer wins against the number 3 seed Brown in the NCAA tournament to go to the Sweet 16. Three worthy candidates. Robbie, the winner for Game of the Year is?
The Robbie Award goes to Mississippi State's win over Brown, pushing them into the round of 16. 51% of the votes, so 600 votes.
Soccer's taking over, man. It's time to start getting in the Premier League with it.
I don't know about that.
Come on now. You know you want to do it.
So I did watch like three soccer games this year.
We've had four awards, and three of them have been from soccer.
Yeah.
It's a dynasty.
It is.
As Tywin Lannister would say. All right. Newcomer of the year. There wasn't a single football player I even considered for 1 second. I can't believe it. Went with two from baseball. Dakota Jordan and Gerangelo Sanjay.
Mm-hmm.
Sanjay? I still don't know how to pronounce it.
Sanjay.
Sanjay, I believe is correct. And then from women's basketball, Debrie Chapeau was my third nominee. This was a runaway, as it probably should have been, Robbie. The Robbie Award goes to?
Go, DJ. Dakota Jordan.
Yeah. 84.7% of the
vote. Blew him away.
Blew him away, as he should.
Yeah, he had an incredible season for a true freshman and a bad year for Mississippi State.
Fantastic. All right, and then last but certainly not least, our moment of the year. It's sort of hard to quantify what a moment is, but I thought I did my best. We went with Dakota Jordan's incredible walk-off hit against Ole Miss on Super Bulldog Saturday in front of an NCAA record crowd. Mississippi State Women's Hoops becomes the first team to advance to the second round from the play-in game. Mississippi State Women's Golf plays for a national title. They were in the final eight of the national championship series. Or MSU Soccer makes the Sweet 16. Pretty good spread amongst all these. 768 votes total. Robbie, who's the winner?
The Robbie Award goes to Dakota Jordan and his walk-off win over Ole Miss on Super Bowl weekend. Yes.
And that's the first one that feels normal.
Every now and then, I'll watch that video back
because
I videoed it.
Yeah.
And just the reaction of it was, I mean, you just don't see that in college baseball everywhere.
No, it was in front of almost 17,000 people.
And that was legit, by the way. You could not fit another person in there.
The stadium would have collapsed.
That's the potential of Mississippi State's fan base and in other sports, too.
It is.
It shows you how they feel about baseball, but they could do that in other sports. To have that many people at a baseball game when your team is, you know, coming off a losing season, you had a losing record, I think, at the time then as well, and you still had a record crowd, it was unbelievable.
There you go. So those are the winners for the 2024 Robbie Awards. Thanks to all who voted. Our biggest category was Male Athlete of the Year, almost 1,100 votes. In case you're wondering, I did screw up the times on these, but it doesn't matter. I'm going to laugh if we come back tomorrow and Jans has won.
Yeah, we got enough at this point. I think we're good.
Yeah, I'm not going to worry about it. I may delete the posts, to be totally honest with you, just to make sure there's no shenanigans. We will not stop. We have stopped the count.
Stop the count.
The count has stopped.
Every now and then I'll do that. Like, I'm just tired of seeing people respond to something I'm doing. Just like, I don't want to deal with this anymore.
I had one the other day. I had a tweet that one of the porn bots liked.
Oh, God.
And so that set off a firestorm. It's like something from 2 years ago. Like, I just keep looking. I'm like, yeah, Allison has liked your tweet. Jennifer has liked your tweet. Marjorie has liked your tweet. I'm like, you're all a bunch of porn bots. You don't like anything. You're not real people.
I tell you, one time I had I had a tweet about Dak Prescott. It was
Dak Prescott.
Kurt Warner had said something about how Dak Prescott, like, just folds and at the end of games or whatever. And so I went and looked up his, like, come from behind wins, like fourth quarter wins, and they were more than what Kurt Warner had accomplished in his career. And that tweet got like 30,000 retweets.
Oh, my God.
I've never had something go off like that.
Yeah.
And it was just so overwhelming, I had to delete it. Like, it was just
the
people fighting in my mentions. Like, at the time, I don't think you could
mute the conversation.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
This was like 2018 or something.
Oh, yeah, you didn't have that, yeah.
So, like, I was just like, I can't see anything Mississippi State related on my mentions. So, I got to delete it.
There you go. All right. Monday. Oh, first off, just a note. You're probably wondering. We didn't talk about it. I will be speaking later today to former Mississippi State and Alabama beat writer and noted imbecile Brett Hudson. I'll talk to him later. He's been doing some work for the AP covering Alabama basketball. So we'll preview Saturday's game with the Crimson Tide. Suddenly a massive game for Mississippi State. A chance to really put a big statement in.
Yeah.
Maybe even jump back into the top 25. With a win against the Alabama Crimson Tide. So we'll recap that on Monday's show. We may have some more recruiting news to talk about. Robbie said there's going to be some folks on campus this weekend. By the way, those kids are from Captain Shreve.
Yes.
I know the athletic director there, of all things.
Really?
Yeah, he's married to a friend of mine from high school.
Yeah, two big offensive linemen. One of them's a four-star.
Now there you go.
I think he's got some interest from
LSU. Never too early to get guys on campus. Oh, he's got interest from LSU?
Yeah.
Ah, well. It was fun.
Yeah, there goes.
So, all right, guys, have a great weekend. We'll talk to you again on Monday. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian. Hey, Dad, thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.